Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. I perceive that it has pleased the Lord to come and meet with somebody here today. And I am fully trusting in Him that it will not be a wasted meeting. That it will be a meeting that by the time we get home, we will say definitely today has been different. Matthew 11, from verse 28 to verse 30. It's a scripture that we all know very well. We all quote it. But whether it has found application in our lives is a completely different matter. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise the name of the Lord. The first thing we find there is the word come. It's an invitation. It's not a command. In a command, you are compelled to do something. In an invitation, you have a choice. But we know that every word that God speaks is a command. But nonetheless, this one is an invitation. When somebody invites you, he must be inviting you to a place, to an event, to a meeting, to a function, to an activity. But this is not such an invitation. This is an invitation to a person. Come to me. Many of us have been going to church. We have never gone to meet with Jesus. Many of us have been going for meetings, but never to meet with Jesus. Many of us have been going for camp meetings. We have been going for events. We have been going for services tagged by whatever name. Special bumper Sunday service. Special Holy Ghost service meeting. Special deliverance or anointing meeting. We have been going for meetings. But we are being invited to who now? To a person. I want you to keep a finger there. And I'd like us to go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I'll read from verse 37 to 39. John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast. Let me tell you something about this feast. It's believed that it was a feast of Tabernacles. This was a feast in which there was a solemn assembly for 8 days. It was also the feast of during the time of atonement and so many things are done. And then there are tabernacles and people stay in tabernacles and offerings are given on a daily basis. Then on the last day of that feast, there's a wild celebration. People eat and drink. Water is poured before the Lord and told at that feast. It was a great feast day and everybody looked forward to that last day. So it was that day, on that last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and do what? Drink. One would have thought that after going to a meeting like this, that they would have met with God. And yet, the Lord Jesus was standing at this feast and announcing, if you are still thirsty, come to me and I'll give you water to drink. Many of us have gone to meetings. We have attended programs, brother. If we are talking of programs, we have been to programs. We have traveled far and wide to attend meetings. But we have left those meetings thirstier than even when we went. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We have left those meetings hungrier than when we first went. Sometimes we wondered what we went to do there. Because we came back empty. We came back emptier than even when we first went. We went hoping that there would be a filling, an infilling by the Spirit. But no such thing happened. Why? Because we went to a meeting. We went to an event. We talked so many things to go for that meeting. We made plans and arrangements to go for that meeting. But we never met with the person to whom that meeting was supposed to have been called. This morning, the Lord is asking you to come to Him. Not asking you to come to church. Last night, my wife and I were discussing, oh, how do we get people to come? How do we get people to come to church? I said, it's not about coming to church. That's not the issue. It's about people coming to meet with Jesus. I have discovered one thing, that when a man has met with Jesus, it is impossible for him to keep quiet. It is impossible for him to go back home and remain the same. There are examples all over the scriptures of men who went to meet with Jesus and their lives were never the same again and they never remained that way. Remember the madman of Gadara after he had been delivered? We never heard that he went back for another deliverance service. All those meetings that we have regularly, they are not supposed to be if we have met with the Lord. You can have a deliverance service once. The next should be a teaching service. A series of teachings for the man who has been delivered. After the Lord had delivered that madman of Gadara, the Bible says that when the people who had left had returned, they saw the man in a sound mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning. He was being taught instantly. And when they urged Jesus to leave the coast and he was about to go, the man said, I will follow. He said, No, don't follow me. Go back and begin to speak about the things that God has done in your life. And the Bible says that the man went around 10 cities preaching. He didn't need to go to Bible school to preach about what God had done in his life.
Come to me. If indeed we have been to Jesus, brother, we will not be struggling with what to tell somebody when we meet a person.
The problem will not be, I don't know how to evangelize. The problem will be, I don't know how to shut up concerning what Christ has done in my life.
You recall in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, the woman who went to the well to fetch water, and she met with the Lord. They had not even fetched water when they were discussing the matter. And the Lord said, the water that I'm asking you to give me is natural water. The water that I have to give you is from heaven. If you had known what water I want to give you, you would have been begging me to give you.
And the woman said, which water are we talking about? Is it not this well? You don't even have bucket. You just asked me to give you water. I said, no. The one that I have for you is the one that will be inside, welling up within you. The woman said, give me that water evermore, so that I do not come here to fetch again. Brother, my sister, the reason why we go to church is to meet with the master. It's not always to be going with a bucket to fetch water. Going with a bucket to get a miracle. Going with a bucket for one healing or the other. Going with a bucket with our needs list. Say, okay, this one has been met. This one has not been met. So I carry another bucket to meet that need. Then I go home. I carry another bucket and meet that need. The Lord Jesus said, the one that I want to give you is where? Is inside. Is inside. Well enough. Come to me. That is what the Lord is saying to somebody. Don't come to church. Come to Jesus. And it's an invitation, like I said earlier. And you have a choice to either honor it or not to honor it. Matthew 22. From verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. I want us to look at this particular aspect. That invitation card had been sent. These people had been invited. And when the day of the wedding came, he went to remind them that, oil, the party is ready. Come. Because he probably was waiting and didn't see any one of them there. And he sent the servants. And the Bible says they were not willing to come. In fact, I think it's in Luke, where Luke documents the excuses they gave. Some of them were legitimate excuses. He said to one said, I just bought a piece of land. I need to go and inspect that land and do the land papers before they take it from me. Another one said, before the invitation, I didn't even know that I'll be married. But now I am married and I have to stay with my wife. I can't come. I think another one said that whether he wanted to go and view a new business or something. You know the kind of excuses we always give. In church today, the excuse we have is, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a very busy man. There's no time. If I want, I'm just waiting for your message to be over. I have meetings. The problem is your messages are too long. So by the time you finish the meeting, I'm off. I don't even have time to sit down with you and discuss because I have another appointment. We have all kinds of excuses. They were invited, but they refused to come. The Bible says they were not willing to come. In verse 4, again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited. Who are those he's talking about now? Eh? Who are those he's talking about here?
The people he has already invited. He's not talking of uninvited guests. They were already invited. We are speaking to believers today. We know we apply this scripture to unbelievers. But we are speaking to those of you who have already been given the invitation to come to Jesus. Why would somebody invite you to a meeting or to a function and then be reminding you?
There's one thing that they normally put in invitation cards. They put RSVP. Who knows what that means? Response civil play. That is, please respond if you are coming. We just want to know, are you coming?
So when the invitation was sent, they did RSVP. These people said, we are coming. Their places were set.
Like you and I.
Recount that day that you got born again. Say, come to Jesus, you ran.
You did an RSVP.
I am coming.
Alas, the table has been set and they are waiting for you. And they are sending messages and sending messengers. Tell them to come.
Come to me. But no, we will go to church. Some of us even sleep in church. Not only do we go to church, we go to church to meet, to have an appointment with somebody in that church. Because there is a business that we are chasing after. We go to church because there is a sister that I'm just trusting God that I will find the grace to speak to her today. You missed it last Sunday, so this Sunday you are hoping that you can talk to her. There's a brother that I thought he would have noticed me last Sunday. But well, we never can tell. We'll just keep trying. Maybe one day he will notice me. So that's why you are going to church. That's why you are buying new clothes to dress. But the man who invited you,
he didn't go to meet you. So he's sending messages to you,
reminding you.
You said you were coming.
You did RSVP. Your name
has been placed on the table.
Your seat
is empty.
I thought if this meeting was important to you, you would have been here early.
He didn't come.
So
we are reminding you.
So tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Let's go back to Matthew 11 and go up to verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he now says, come to... Do you know why he's calling you? Do you know why? Even though he has invited you, he's calling you to come. Perhaps there's a revelation that you don't have, and he's asking you to come. Many of us have been visiting churches. We visit this church, visit that church, visit all over the place. We are running everywhere looking for anointing, looking for power. We know the person who doesn't have power and the person who has power. We know the message that touched your spirit and the one that didn't touch your spirit. And yet you didn't meet with Jesus. I want you to picture blind Bartimaeus, a blind man who couldn't see. He heard a commotion and he asked a question. What's going on? He said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He had heard about Jesus. He wasn't invited. And he began to shout at the top of his lungs, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The people who told him about Jesus said, shut up, keep quiet. It's not. Don't make noise. This is not passing by because of it. The Bible says she shouted the more. You know why? He couldn't see. If he had been able to see, do you think he'd be shouting? What do you think he would have done? He would have pursued and grabbed him. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had been all over the place, like many of us. Visited many churches and many men of God, and was worse. You know why? Nobody directed her to Jesus. They were asking her to focus on them. If I pray for you, madam, your life will never be the same. Just drop a prophet's offering there and the reward of the prophet would be yours. That's what was happening. Then she heard that Jesus was passing by that day. And the Bible records, I think it's the NLT that says, she kept saying in her mind, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. You know, I wonder when we read these scriptures, if we really believe these scriptures. Or maybe we think they're just stories that were told to excite us or to fill the pages of the Bible because there wasn't enough space to make the Bible a big book. It's supposed to challenge you that a woman who has been bleeding persistently for 12 years, you can imagine how frail she would have been, how weak she would have been. The Bible says she went in the press. A throng had blocked Jesus. This woman had no invitation. But somehow, in her weakness, there was a greater determination than the strong throng that had surrounded Jesus. And she began to shove, quietly sneaking, squeezing. It didn't matter. Not to touch Jesus. What was she going to touch? The hem, the very edge of his garment. What faith, what determination. We don't have those problems. And we won't come. And we have been invited. There are scriptures in this Bible that they will be reading and reciting in our ears when we stand before the Lord. I said, did you never read that a woman was not invited and she came and touched the hem of my garment and was healed? How much more you that I called? I see Christians going to church looking solemn. Some of us just go to mark register. We don't even know why we go to church anymore. Come to me. Come to me. The Lord is calling on someone. Come to me. And then he gives a category of the people he's inviting. Who is he inviting? All ye who labor and are heavy laden. You remember when we read in John chapter 7? Who was he inviting? Those who are still thirsty. You have been engaged in religion and you know there's a void. Let me tell you something. If your visit is to a church, if your visit is to a man of God, if your visit is to an event, there will be void in you. Because those things can never fill your life. A pastor who thinks that Sunday is a time to come and show his preaching prowess, we leave that altar empty. Because he didn't go there to meet with the master. He went there to show off. The man who leaves his house with a needs list, not to meet with Jesus, if he can get that need met anyway, it doesn't matter. He will still find emptiness. Because you were created to be filled only, to be full and to be content only in Christ. And the minute that doesn't happen, you begin to feel empty. And I see people searching and running from pillar to post. They're in this church today, they're in the next church tomorrow. And running all over the place and missing the point. If they go to this church and they see a similitude of meeting with Jesus, they are okay. Then after a while, the emptiness comes back. Because they didn't really go to meet with Christ. They went to a church. Do you see the thousands thronging many of our churches?
on Sundays, they are searching. In those days, evangelism was to the world. Today, evangelism is in the church. There are souls that are lost inside the church because they didn't come to Jesus. They went to meet someone else. Are you laboring? That is, are you toiling? Like one man of God would say, are you walking like an elephant and eating like an ant? Are you sweating and there's no joy? Do you know that joy, I mean, you know, there's a difference between joy and happiness. One man of God said, happiness is based on happenings. Joy is based on the Holy Spirit in your life. Do we just experience momentary happiness? When an event happens, we are excited. When that high event doesn't happen, we are lost. Or do you have joy? Joy has nothing to do with an event. Joy is about the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost is in you, you have joy. Because the Holy Ghost is joy. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 verse 5 that our hearts have been filled with love by the Spirit of God that has been given to us as a gift. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. It is the result of the Spirit in your life. The Spirit growing, increasing in a life, filling up a life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. As the Spirit of God is allowed to operate in us, to fill every area of our lives, those things begin to manifest. But when we go to church, not to meet with the Lord Jesus, but to meet with some man, to engage in some event or some activity, we miss out on these things. Who are those who are laboring and heavy laden? Was it on Tuesday that I told the story of a hunchback man? It was on Tuesday, right? Okay, bad repetition. There was this hunchback man who was always tired. As it turned out, there was a witch in the house who was taking him to witch meeting, sitting on his hunchback as transportation. The man didn't know that he was carrying a load. He would just wake up tired. He would sleep early and yet he would wake up tired. We're talking of people who are carrying a heavy load. People who are weary from work, from labor. The Bible says that labor the wages of a laboring man is sweet. There's a joy that comes from laboring. There are those of us who are laboring in the kingdom of God and there's no joy. We labor and we are sad. It's as if God is a taskmaster. The Lord is saying, come to me. I believe I read this before. I mentioned it, but let's look at it. Still keep a finger on chapter 11. And we'll go to chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm going to read from verse 43 to verse 45. Matthew chapter 12, 43 to 45. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. The point I'm trying to prove is this. When you see young teenagers having party, are they enjoying themselves? But are the neighbors able to enjoy themselves? The neighbors have no rest. But the children, those teenagers having party, they have rest. Because they are doing what they like to do. So they enjoy themselves. When a man has a demon tormenting him, he cannot have rest. The demon can just suddenly get him up. Say, let's go. How many of you watched heard the news of Luis Suarez biting somebody? He's a demon. I feel sorry for the young man. But his nation and his president, they've not helped him. Because they're there supporting him. He's okay. It's not wrong. It's this. He has a problem. His labor is heavy laden. A demon is in charge of his life. Imagine the talent and see the disgrace. He's a married man with children. Easily the best footballer in the world. Easily. And look at his character. The demon is troubling him. He's laboring. Now for the next 4 months, no football. And that's where his money comes from. His sponsors have withdrawn. Their sponsorship is going down. A demon. How can a man at that age be biting? You know he's a demon. There was no basis for it. It's not as if they stepped on you and you beat. No. He just went and beat the man's show. That's what demons can do. You find yourself engaging in activities that you know there's something wrong here. As long as you are doing the bidding of the demon has rest. You have no rest. Many of us are carrying such loads. I'm not asking you to come and tell me anything. I'm not interested. I don't want to. Because what has the master said? Come to... That's what he said. Just come to me. Some of us can't sleep at night. Night is when our eyes are like this. You'll be begging sleep to come. Sleep can't come. Pray, you can't pray. But you will watch TV. You will do all kinds of stupid things that night. You have no rest. Something is troubling you. The Bible tells us that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. I think it's Psalm 128. Let's look at Psalm 128 briefly. To see what God has given to you. And if you are not enjoying that,
then you have a problem. I remember when we were in the States, even here, one testimony that people who would come to our home would say is,
that I slept like a baby in this house. That the way I'm sleeping here, I don't sleep like that in my own house. I don't know what it is that is giving them rest. But if it is, as long as when I say I don't know what I'm trying to say, that I cannot say it is me or what I did or that I prayed. I thank God that Christ could find my home to be the place to give people rest.
Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2.
Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Who? Let's pause. Come unto me, all ye that labor. All of you that are doing things outside of God, you are laboring.
You may be making money, but you are laboring.
Unless the Lord builds the house. Those who are building, what are they doing? They are laboring in vain. It's a vain labor. Unless the Lord builds a marriage, you are laboring to build that marriage. Unless the Lord is building your life, you are laboring.
It goes on.
Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. If God is not the one protecting a city, that all the policemen that are just wasting their time, they get frustrated. If God is not watching over your life, your staying awake is in vain. You can go to a night vigil for all you want and pray all night. If God was not there, it was vanity.
Verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early. By the way, early rising is very good. Do you understand that? A true child of God should be an early riser. But what he's saying here is, you have to complete it to understand. It is vain for you to rise up. So it's good to rise up early. But it is vain when the following happens. To sit up late. There's nothing wrong with sitting up late. If you have work to do that is not finished and you have to finish it, fine. There's nothing wrong with it. To eat the bread of sorrows. Now that's where the problem is. Because if you are working, should you be eating the bread of sorrows? I'm asking now. Some of us are working. We can't even hold the money in our hands to say, this is what God has given me. And please, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about minimum wage or no minimum wage. There are people who are earning millions and they can't see it. I have a friend who earns a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. But you know that money he earns from his secular work doesn't excite him. What excites him is when he comes to preach and you give him love up. Even if you give him 1,000 naira, he's happy. Why? He's receiving from God. He says, the other one, I work for it. This one is a gift from God. He cherishes that one more than that million is earning, working. That's why when I see people who are struggling and saying, I want to collect this, you don't know. You not go and ask people who are earning that kind of thing. They will tell you where their true joy lies. You can do all that work, earn all the millions, and you will be eating the bread of sorrows. I think there was a song that somebody sang. He said the head carrier, they call them in Yoruba land, Alaru, the one who's carrying a load. He says, when you see him eating, what do you think he's eating? He's eating the labor of his hard labor. He's eating the skin of his head. That's what he's eating. Because he's using his head to carry things. For so he gives what? His beloved. What does he give them?
Sleep.
When you read a scripture like this, it should create in you a hunger.
I say, why is it that I can't sleep?
Is it that I'm laboring in vain? Lord, have I labored in vain? Ah, let me change. No more labor in vain. By the way, this scripture was brought to me when I was not a believer. I was having a problem then. I could not sleep. And one believer shared the scripture with me, gave me this scripture. And I was looking at them, what are they talking about? The fellow was making a mistake. You don't take this kind of scripture to somebody who doesn't know God. It doesn't mean anything to me. But after I became a Christian, and I had a challenge once. I was working in a company, in a finance company, and we had this financial crash of the 90s. And monies were lost all over the place. And every day you go to the office, it is not to work, but to appeal to creditors that, please, we will give you your money. We had no money to pay back to anybody. We had collected people's monies, and we did not invest them. Instead, we gave them to other people, and the monies never came back. And so every day we go to the office is to either solve one problem, meet one, beg one person. We were no longer working. So one night, I was sleeping. I had an air conditioner in my room. Strong, I think it was a 2.5 horsepower. Gibson, one of the, if not the best in the world at that time. The place was cold, but my mattress was wet with sweat. I got up. So what is going on? What kind of life is this? I knelt down that day. It was between me and God. I said, Lord, I can't continue like this. What kind of thing is this? And God told me, he said, if you don't have blood, can you give blood? I said, no. If you don't have, you don't have. Go and sleep. I said, I will give you sleep. Go and sleep. And I went and slept.
And I slept like a baby from that day on. From that day on, when I go to the office and they call, I say, oh, yeah, we feel what you feel. But a man that doesn't have blood, he can't give blood. We don't have it to give. We couldn't tell. I told them, I said, there's no need to lie to anybody that come tomorrow because it's not going to happen. Just tell them as it is. If they're going to lock us up, let them lock us up. And we had rest. Many years later, when we were in the States, we had, because of the credit system there, we had been taking some things with our credit card. And when you do all those things, there's a cut-off date when you're supposed to pay back. The cut-off date was on Monday. It was Friday night. And there was nothing. There was no means. It's not as if I'm expecting money from somewhere. There was nowhere money was coming. I left our room upstairs. I went downstairs. As I knelt down to pray, I heard God ask one question. Who brought you here? I said, you did. He said, go and sleep. I said, if you give me sleep, I will sleep. He said, I will give you sleep. Go and sleep. And I went upstairs and I slept like a baby. Of course, I woke up the next morning in anticipation that something will happen. Nothing happened until that night. Because I knew that I had only that day. The next day, I had to put money in that account because by Monday, they'll start hitting my account. That night, a young lady walked in and handed me a check that cleared everything and gave me excess money. Our God had met me at the point of, I am saying to you today, what are you struggling with that you think Jesus cannot meet? I want you to understand one, that when you go to the Lord Jesus, you may not get the solution, bam, 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 instantly. But one thing you will get is peace in your heart. I want you to read, let's read Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I think we'll be reading from verse 6 to 7. Philippians 4. 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in how many things?
Everything.
By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to the pastor. Let your request be made known to the church. Set out a prophet, a big man of God, and make your request known to him. Is that what he says? Who should know your request?
God.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He said in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? Will guard. What does it mean? Will protect your heart from the thing that is causing it to shake. The peace of God will stand as a guard against anything that is trying to enter your heart to trouble it. But on what basis is the peace of God coming to guard your heart? Huh? I'm asking you now, what is the basis? You have to go to God and make, in how many things now? Some of us only take the things we feel are hard to God. The ones we feel we can handle. What do? We handle. And then we create more problems. If it's not simple things, like one man told me, he's not even a man of God. He said, Ray, my people say rock, no, they make person fall. Now pebble, they make person fall. The things that trip us are the tiny, tiny. I think it's Hebrews chapter 12 that says, those sin that doth easily, he says. The small, small things. Take everything to him in prayer. He will cause his peace to stand guard. He will guard your heart and guide your mind through Christ Jesus. And suddenly, all the anxiety will cease. I see many people carrying heavy loads, walking all over the place. I'm wondering, who can solve this problem? I didn't go one church yesterday, but the problem, they're no solver. Who did he go to in that church? That's why I could say, they're no solver. He wrote his prayer request and they brought it to everybody. Say, all church, make me pray for this prayer request. That's whom told it to the church. I don't want to go. Let's leave. Let's just stay at 28 and close. He said, when you do that, what will you do? I will give you rest. The day Jesus casts out a demon, you will have rest. The day he casts out fear, you will have rest. Read 1 John. Let's read 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. I want us to read that one together. 1, 2, go. No, let's wait for everybody. Is it on the screen? Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, go.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. He who fears nothing.
What is the love of God? That's what we're talking of, perfecting in love. The love of God is perfect. It is a love that has forgiven all sin. It is a love that is benevolent on the basis of who God is, not on the basis of who you are. The Bible says fear brings what? Torment. It has torment. It involves torment. Fear will always torment you, torment you, torment you. You won't be able to sleep at night. You won't be able to go here out of fear. You won't be able to go here out of fear. But when the love of God comes into your heart,
what does it do?
What does the Bible say?
It does what?
It casts out.
There's one translation that says, it chases away, it drives away, it ejects, it uproots fear
from your life.
But who must you come to get it?
You must come to Jesus.
The rest we are talking about here is a peaceful rest. Is a rest that is accompanied with calmness.
You know, there are some people who are resting, but their mind is working.
No, we're talking of a total calm.
There's no anxiety. You know that God has everything under control.
Some of us speak, sometimes I find myself doing that.
We'll pick paper and we'll start calculating.
As if the calculation will solve the problem.
We'll calculate.
If I can get this here, if I can get this here,
this one will work out.
We'll be permutating, working out things,
creating more problems for ourselves,
entangling ourselves more and more. We'll go here, we'll go there, all over the place.
This morning, there's only one thing I want you to do. I want you to. Those loads that you brought from your homes, I want you to take it to Jesus.
I think there's a chorus that we used to sing.
Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your troubles to the Lord and leave it there. He will surely deliver you when you put your trust in Him. Take your troubles to the Lord and leave it there.
He didn't say, come back tomorrow and open it and say, it is still there.
Leave it.
Yeah. I want us to go to God in prayer this time.
Don't come to me. Come to Jesus.
He's the one inviting you, by the way.
I'm not the one inviting you.
He's the one saying, come.
I have seen that you are struggling with so many things. Come to me.
I want to give you rest.
You are struggling and troubled by too many things, he told Martha. He said, but Mary has gotten that one thing that matters.
Because Mary came to him.
But Martha was all over the place, busy, in activity. And he said, no, come to me.
The Lord is calling you today, come to me.
Maybe you have never given your life to Christ.
Today is that day when you should come to Christ.
I'm not asking you to come to me as a pastor. Come to Jesus.
If you have not given your life to Christ, or you are backsliding and you know that God is not with me anymore,
then come. Let us pray together here in front.
You will get up and come here, and then we'll pray together.
But those rest of us who have been struggling with things, thinking that it is by going to church, thinking that it is by going to meet a pastor, thinking that it is by going to visit brothers and sisters, and telling people your problem, you don't know that after Christ has solved that problem, they will never forget the problem you came to tell them.
Many of us are carrying our situation all over the place.
Meanwhile, there is one place to go to. Today is that day, brothers and sisters. I don't care how big that matter is or how small the matter is. Go to God today.
He is the one asking you to come. He says, come to me.
Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Come to me.
Are you laboring? Come to me.
Are you still thirsty? Come to me.
Are you still hungry? Come to me.
Is sin struggling, dealing with you? Come to me.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
He is the one who meets all needs.
Don't go to a man. That man himself has no problems. That man cannot meet anybody's need. I'm telling you the truth. It is the Lord Jesus that can meet your needs. Oh, when they were looking for who will bring salvation to mankind, at one time they looked to goats and animals, thinking that salvation was there. No, it was a temporary thing that God had given to them. By the time Jesus came, they were still continuing with their sacrifices, and their lives were never better. Then a few of them began to encounter the Lord Jesus. They began to meet with Him, and their lives began to change. My brothers and my sisters, I'm saying to you today, maybe the method you have known from the time you were born is to be going to church, is to go to one man or the other to discuss your problems, to let him know that God will use man to solve the problem. I want you to know that it is true that God may use men, but let it be God using the men, not you going to force it. Go to Jesus today. He is the one inviting you. He is the one saying, come to me. Come to me. Are you carrying a bucket to a well to get water? Come to Jesus. He will give you that water. Inside of you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Are you carrying a heavy load? Come to Jesus. Is a demon troubling you? Come to Jesus. Just come to Him. Come to Jesus. And He will meet you at the very point of need. Don't wait to say after the meeting, I will discuss this matter with pastor. The pastor doesn't need to even know about it. Just discuss with Jesus and he will meet you at the point of need.
Talk to him.
Talk to him.
And don't let your talking stop here. When you get home, continue to talk to him. Don't just wait and say, well, is any time I'm in church, every time I go to that church and I pray, something happens. Pray in your house, something will happen. As long as you are praying to Jesus.
Come to me. That's what Jesus says. He is inviting you. What an honor. To be invited by the one who can meet your needs. He's saying, come to me. Come and meet with me. In other words, come and tell me your problems. Ah, what an invitation. Come and discuss your issues with me. What an invitation. Brother, don't let today pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. He is calling you to come to him. To come and meet with him. I believe in my spirit that God is set to do something in somebody's life today. That is why this invitation is going out. He is going out today with an invitation. You have RSVP'd. And he's informing you afresh. Did I not invite you? Did I not invite you? Why have you been going about? Today is the day. Come! Come! Sending messages. Sending messengers to you to come. You had RSVP'd that you were going to come. But he has not heard from you for so long. Instead, you have been using proxies. You have been going to pastors and they are saying, Lord, meet this brother's need. And God is saying, what is wrong with the brother? Does he not know that he has access to me? Come to Jesus. Come to me. That's what Jesus says. It's an invitation to the invited. An invitation to the invited who has RSVP'd that said, I will come. Talk to the Lord, brother. Talk to the Lord. Discuss the matter with him. He will surely deliver you if you put your trust in him. Don't go casually. Go with determination. Remember, the things of the kingdom are not taken casually. They are taken with determination. There is an effort that is required. A season. A taking hold. Come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus today. Take your troubles, your concerns, the issues you are struggling with, the things you can never tell any man, the things that are a trouble to you, even if it is sin, it is Jesus who is inviting you to say, come. Come and tell me. I want to give you rest. That is the good news for today. He wants to give you rest. Enough of the running up and down. He is said to give you rest. He is said to give peace to your heart. To guard your heart from anxiety, from troubles, from problems. He's said to give you rest. He's the one inviting you to come. To come and meet with him. Come. Come and meet with him. It is an invitation. An invitation to pour your heart out. An invitation that is guaranteed to yield the fruit of answers to prayers. Talk to the Lord. By faith, he will meet your needs. Come trust in him. Put your trust in him. Don't put your trust in a church. Don't put your trust in a building. Don't put your trust in an altar, in a chair, in clothing, or in oil. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Take your needs to him and just wait on him. You will see him do what no man can do. You will see him do something that you have been running all over the place for. He will meet your needs. He will meet you at the very point of need. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord this morning. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You are being invited. You are being invited. Come and drop your problems at his feet and go away with peace. Go away and rest. Go away with joy. Leave it there. Leave it there. Go and drop it before him.
The Bible says, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Go and cast it. Go and throw it before him. Drop it there. Stop carrying it. You don't need to carry it. The burden bearer has come. Take it to the Lord. But you must take it to the Lord. You must take it to the Lord. 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 Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. You weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Take your matter to the Lord. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He's a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus. Hello. Don't tell it to any man. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Between you and him. So that when the answer comes, you will know who to give the glory to. You will know who to give the praise to. You will know who to give the honor to. Because I guarantee you that you shall find rest for your soul. Go to him. Trust in him. You shall find rest for your soul. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Let's stand to our feet. We take that first hymn again, please. Help us with that feet. Before we say one last prayer, and then we close. Are you weary? Are you heavy burdened? Or heavy hearted? Okay. Are we ready? Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He's a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks on pleading? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you seen that no man's eyes are needing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming, kingdoms are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Just in case you forgot anything, you left out anything, just for the next 2 minutes, go ahead and tell it to Jesus. Maybe in the course of the hymn, you are reminded of something. Go and tell it to Jesus now. You don't have any such brother or friend that you can tell this matter to. There is nothing that you cannot tell God. There is nothing that you say to him that will shock him. Maybe if you say to a man, he might open his mouth and say, eh? But not to God. There's nothing you are going to say to God that is embarrassing. He knows it already. But he's saying, I want you to come and tell me yourself. Don't tell me through another person. Come and speak to me as it is. Tell it to me as it is. What does that mean that is making you to be sorrowing, grieving you? You smile outside, but you are crying at home. You are weeping on your bed. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. What is that challenge in life that you are unable to overcome? You have tried in your strength. You have tried using methodologies, but you can't solve the problem. Go to Jesus. Go and tell him. Go and tell him. Go and tell him. I tell you, you begin to experience the rest of God, the peace of God, the joy of God will begin to fill your heart. You will know that indeed the matter has been met. You have not been able to sleep? Go home and sleep. You will sleep. You will sleep. Except you have not left it at his footstep. Thank him for answers to prayers.
Faithful God, faithful God, you lifted me, you uphold my prayer, hide my tears. Give me joy. You are always there. You're a faithful God. Faithful God. Faithful God. You lifted me. You uphold me. Wipe my tears. You give me joy. You are always there. You're a faithful God.
Faithful God.
Faithful God.
Faithful God.
Faithful God.
You lifted me. You uphold my cause.
My tears,
and you give me joy.
You are
Always there.